or positivity are absolutely true. Actually, that doesn't make any sense. Stay with me. I think you'll get it. Romans 1 and 6 are scripture text. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and also the Greek. Years ago, an old preacher made the following statement. He said, there's nothing better than the gospel. He said that when he was 30 years old. There's nothing better than the gospel. When he was 40 years old, he said, there's nothing as good as the gospel. When he was 50 years old, he said, there's nothing to be compared to the gospel. And when he was 60 years old, he said, there's nothing but the gospel. He got that part right, didn't he? There's nothing but the gospel. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us to understand this absolute, that there is nothing but the gospel. The whole world, the crisis in the world, the crisis in men's hearts, the only remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in us, you know, the Bible tells us that when we're born again, that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the purposes of that Spirit in us is to help us understand this truth, that time is short, Jesus is coming soon, and the empowerment and tangible presence of His Holy Spirit is to enable you and I to be bold witnesses in sharing the good news of Christ with those around us that are lost. The purpose of God by the work of the Spirit in us is to enable us to have a powerful anointing where we are led by the Spirit regarding reaching out to those around us that we encounter every day, reaching out to them with a deep passion and unction to help them know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, the gifts and the flow of the Spirit and the manifestation of His presence, they're wonderful things in our lives and in this church. But I will remind us all, one of the crying needs of the Spirit-filled church is to move from being holy observers to holy and empowered participants. Amen? Not just being an observer, but a Spirit-led participant full of passion and a heart to reach those that need the good news of Jesus Christ. You may remember in the Gospels when it's recorded that Jesus called His disciples together and He sent them out, and the Bible says that He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease. I want to remind you, this event occurred before the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine the authority and the power that was intended for His followers after the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost? By the way, that power that flowed into that upper room on the day of Pentecost, it is the same power that is promised to all of us as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My heart's desire is to see this church to become a true Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church that begins to release the anointing and the purpose of deliverance and redemption. Pastor, what do you mean deliverance and redemption? I mean deliverance from sin and Satan and redemption to become the eternal sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Oh, that's God's will through us as His children. The ultimate goal of any revival, the ultimate goal of any great awakening is to do one single thing, to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. For more people to come to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. There is no greater ministry than the ministry of intercession, meaning passionate prayer for lost and dying men and women. So yes, this sermon today is about our duty It's about our obligation to be powerful soul winners and witnesses for our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I share with you four negatives that are positively true. And here's the first one. You can't witness or share the gospel to the wrong person. You can't do it. Mark 16 and 14, you see, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel to who? Every creature. Whether you share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether you do it to somebody that's rich or somebody that's just dirt poor, whether it's a young man or an old man, whether it's an educated man or an uneducated person, whether it's a man living in a shack or living on the street or a woman living in a mansion, it makes no difference. You cannot share the gospel with the wrong person. Evangeline Booth was the first woman to serve as the general of the Salvation Army. One night back in the 1930s, she spoke in a crowded hall in Paris, France. And she spoke to the lowest people of the city. The folks would refer to them as the scum of the moral sewers, so to speak. And in response for her declaring the good news and the gospel message, they jeered her and they mocked her. And it just broke her heart. Then one night as she was ministering in the same place, she left the platform and she made her way to the back of the room. And as she did, everybody starts hissing and mocking her. And she walks up to the very back row of that room that she's ministering in, where there's a poor fallen girl sitting on the back seat. She put her arms around this girl, and Evangeline Booth said to this girl, she said, my dear, I would to God that I could love you to Christ. Did you hear that? The passion in her was that I would to God that I could love you to Christ. The anointing was so powerful that the young girl began to weep and to cry. And soon she came to the front and knelt at an old-fashioned altar, just like you see these altars here, with tears running down her face, broken, asking Jesus to forgive her, to come into her heart, and to be her Savior. And this young girl became an incredible worker for the Salvation Army. That's what Jesus does for us, isn't it? That's what He does for us. He just loves us out of our sin. He loves us out of our sin. He loves us into eternal life. It's His gift to you and to me. We can never earn it. We can never pay for it. Jesus had to go to the cross. Aren't you glad that He did, that He went to that cross for us? Be a witness for Jesus wherever you are, and know this, you cannot witness to the wrong person. You can't do it. Look at the scripture with me in Romans 3 and 23. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. What does this next part say? You see it. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all, he says it three times, doesn't he? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this is a negative that is positively true. It is impossible to share the good news of Christ, to witness to the wrong person, because all men and women are sinners that need Jesus. They need Jesus. Here's the second negative that's positively true. You can't be an effective witness for Christ without the Holy Spirit. This verse in Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, rather be filled with the Spirit. That verse is a truth, isn't it? By the way, be not drunk with wine. It made me think of this morning. I saw a report on TV. A doctor was saying that after extensive studies that the more alcohol you drink, the higher likelihood it is you'll have cancer. Do we need any more reasons or to just make the statement that I don't need that stuff in my life? I just don't need it. Why should I put that in my body? That's another sermon. An old-fashioned minister was preaching the Word of God, And he was preaching during his sermon, he would often say, "Lord, give me unction. Lord, give me unction." Well, a fellow came up to him after the service was over, and he said, "Pastor," he says, "tell me, what do you mean when you say, 'Lord, give me unction?' What does that mean?" And the old preacher looked at him, he says, "Well, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't, and it sure is terrible when I don't have it." I think he understood what was being said. What we need today is a spirit and a prayer that says, "Oh Lord, give us unction, the unction of the Holy Spirit to be a powerful witness for Jesus, to be bold in our declaration that people need the Lord." You know, you think the Holy Spirit wants to build within us a fire of passion. He does. He wants to build with us a fire of passion and compassion for those around us that are lost. I want to remind all of us here today that God has a plan to reach the lost. He's got a plan to reach the lost, and he has a plan, and part of that plan, by the way, is for you and I, as his followers, his children, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and in that filling and presence of the Holy Spirit, to be a bold witness for our Savior. Once there was a middle-aged lady that had never been married, and she longed to find a good husband. And the thought of just living out the rest of her life alone was just a heavy burden in her mind, in her heart. Well, she went to talk to her pastor about it, and she asked her pastor, she said, "What am I going to do about it?" And he looked at her, and he said, now remember, God has a plan. One woman for one man, and one man for one woman. And we can improve on God's plan." Well, she looked at her pastor and she says, "I don't want to improve on it. I just want to get in on it." That's the way spirit-filled, spirit-led believers ought to be about God's plan. We should have a desire to get in on it, to be a part of it. This man, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, to me, he's a wonderful example of the difference the Holy Spirit can make in personal witnessing. When Moody preached, his appearance was often referred to as pathetic. His grammar was terrible. But he had something in him that brought the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit of God when he preached. When he preached, souls were saved, and there was a marvelous move of God, and the grace of God fell on those that heard him. God took an old boy that had a third grade education and made him a powerful witness of the good news. How do you explain that? How can you explain that? I think the only explanation is by the supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit in that man's life, being fully surrendered to Jesus. You know this scripture in the Old Testament. It's in Zechariah 4 and 6. "Not by might, nor by power, but what? But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, nor by power. Listen, we'll never do it on our own. It's the anointing. It's the presence of Jesus' Holy Spirit in us. This is another negative that is positively true. You cannot share Jesus effectively or be a powerful witness for Christ without the aid of the Holy Spirit. The third negative that's positively true: you can't be an effective witness or share the gospel without talking about Jesus. You see the scripture there in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. "For what we preach is not ourselves." A lot of folks need to remember that, don't they? "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." I love that scripture. There was a church in Tennessee that had a sign out front, and it said, "Jesus only." And a big storm came through one night and blew off the first three letters of the sign. And that morning when people saw the sign, it said, "Us only." I'm afraid there's a lot of preaching today that's about us instead of Jesus. Make no mistake about it. God has chosen you and me to win souls to Jesus. And you can't be an effective witness without sharing the story of who Jesus is. We must talk about the Savior. We must love to talk about the Savior. But you can't do it unless you're talking about Jesus. Do you remember the event between Jesus and Peter? Did Jesus ask Peter, did he say, Peter, do you love to feed my sheep? No, that's not what he asked him at all. Remember what he said, don't you? Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Then he said, feed my sheep, didn't he? He didn't ask him, Peter, do you love to feed my sheep? He said, Peter, do you love me? So I ask you today, do you love Jesus? Do you love him? Do you love to talk about the one you love? Most of the time we do. I know when Sherry and I were sweethearts and dating, I loved to talk about my sweetheart. Tell everybody how cute she was and how much a good time I had with her. Now she's getting embarrassed hearing that, but that's true. When we love someone, we love to talk about them, don't we? When we love Jesus, that should be a priority in our hearts and our lives. When you ask the question, you think about somebody asked the question, do you love to talk about Jesus? And your response that'll come from your heart will really be a reflection about the priorities of your life, won't it? It really will. Is he a priority? Is Jesus a priority in your life? So this third negative is positively true. You cannot be an effective witness without loving to talk about Jesus. And this fourth negative that's positively true is you can't win a person to Jesus and ever forget it. You can't. If you're a born-again believer and you witness to somebody else about the Lord and they accept Christ as their Savior, you'll never be able to forget it. You remember Philip won the Ethiopian eunuch and he couldn't get away from it. You remember Paul and Silas went over the jailer, and I guarantee you they never forgot it. Sometimes we sing a song on Sunday mornings, we are Christ ambassadors. It's an old song. By the way, that song is taken from this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God, look at this next part, as though God were pleading through us. Let that just sink in a minute. We're an ambassador for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We implore you on Christ's behalf, give your heart to Jesus. Be born again. Receive the Savior. That word that as though God were pleading through us. He is pleading through us. He's pleading through us by the ministry of His Holy Spirit. And as ambassadors for Jesus, God has chosen us, by the way. He's chosen you and me to reach out to other people by the grace of Almighty God and to share Christ with them. Think about this for just a moment. Someday, we're going to stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible makes that very clear. Every believer will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Perhaps He'll say to us, perhaps Jesus will say to us, did you do your best? How can you respond to that? Perhaps He'll ask us, did you win all that you could? How would we respond? Or He could ask, could you have won one more if you had really given your best? Oh, dear God, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, help us to have a passion and a burden for the lost. Put within us tears on behalf of those that are living their lives so far removed from the Savior, from God, and the things of God. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 4:19, Jesus said these words. You're familiar with these words. Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's a good thing. Let me conclude this morning by asking this question. Are you a soul winner? If you have ever won a soul to Jesus, you'll never forget it. It's one of those negatives that's positively true. Today, I'm asking all of us to prayerfully let the Holy Spirit search our hearts. And I pray that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we could all come to the point of saying this prayer and saying it with all of our hearts. And I ask those that would say this prayer out loud with me, would you please? Lord, I'm going to be a soul winner by the power of the Holy Spirit anointing me and empowering me. Lead me and help me to reach the lost sheep. Boy, what a prayer that is. I'm going to tell you, if you pray that prayer and that you mean it from all your heart, God's going to start opening doors for you. He's going to put you in divine appointments. He's going to put you before people and in situations. And you're going to feel that urging. You're going to feel that tug of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be bold and be a witness and find some way to enter into that conversation with that man or that woman to tell them about Jesus and how much Jesus loves them. Say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to say those things. It's not too hard to tell somebody how much Jesus loves them, how precious they are to God, how Christ died for their sins, and now He wants a relationship with them. There's an old song we used to sing. I bet some of you know it. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. You know that song? Many of you know it. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. And the song goes on to say that somehow through me, we can lead that person to know Christ. God help us. We should be praying, Lord, lay some soul on my heart today. And win that soul through me, that may I ever do my part to win that soul for Thee. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, help us not be holy observers. Help us be holy participants. God, help us get out of the arena of just watching. Help us get in the field of action, reaching out in faith, with boldness, with purpose, to have a compassion in our heart to those around us that need Jesus. Father, we know the time is short, that any moment, any day, any time, Jesus could call us home. Oh, Father, help us to have the understanding that can only come by Your Word and Your Holy Spirit, that our greatest purpose on this earth from this day forward is to reach out the love and grace and forgiveness of our Savior to a lost and dying world. Give us passion. Give us a burden, I pray, for the lost by Your hand and by Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.